Have you ever had a time when God led you, but in a way that didn't make sense? I can almost hear out there some knowing laughs. Because if you follow God for very long, you will have this experience. Sometimes God leads us in a way that just does not make sense. We end up in a place that we hadn't planned on. And yet, as best as we can tell, God is behind this and he's the one we're following. So how did we end up in some crazy place that was not at all the direction that we started out? It could be that the relationship we thought was it has ended, or the job option that was opening up closed, or the hoped-for move fizzled out. Maybe the ministry that we longed for derailed. And now it seems like we're going, I don't know, sideways, backwards. Why would God lead us that way? Now, just to be clear, friends, I'm not talking about those times when the way is fogged in and we have no idea which way God is leading us. There are those times. That's not what I'm talking about right here. I'm talking about the times when God is leading us. That much seems clear. But what kind of route is this? I mean, we could have had this like nonstop flight to Seattle, and instead we're getting rerouted through Cincinnati. Well, 6 years ago, I had an experience of this kind. I was serving as an associate pastor at a church, and the senior pastor and I were doing annual conversations about my role there, and we both agreed that it was really becoming time for me to pastor my own church. The decision was mutual, it was amicable, but it was clear, and the clock was running, and it was time for me to find a job. And so I told my friends, "Hey, God is leading me toward another church. I'm excited and pray that I have wisdom. Which one?" Ha ha, ha ha, ha ha. Many months later, many countless phone calls later, nothing had opened up. Like nothing. And so, not knowing what to do, I convened what the Quakers call a clearness committee. A clearness committee, that's where you gather some wise people in your life and you lay out the decision you need to make before them. And then they listen to all that and ask questions in order to try to help you become clear. So I said that day to the eight people in our living room, "I don't know what to do. I know God's leading me toward another church and to pastor there. That's clear. And that's what I want to do. But over the past 6 months, I've investigated all these different options." And here I passed out a handout that had like 12 or 15 options listed there, and nothing has opened up. And so I don't know what to do. Now, down at the very bottom of the list, someone noticed and asked me about, "What's this thing here about going back to Christianity Today where you used to work?" And I said, "Oh, well, I just put that on there as an afterthought, really. That's only because when I called my former boss at Christianity Today asking for leads to churches that he might know that were seeking a pastor, he said, 'Well, might have a position here that would fit.' But I know that, of course, is the exact opposite direction of where I'm headed." So the clearness committee took in the whole list. And then finally, Marilyn Stewart, whom many of you remember fondly, said, "You know that one down there at the bottom, I think you should take a look at that." And two or three other people said, "Oh yeah, I feel the same." And I got really exasperated inside. And I mean, you're supposed to listen quietly and take in what your clearness committee says, but they just needed to know how crazy they were getting. And I told them, "Look, but God is calling me to pastor a church. I mean, how would going back where I already left make any sense at all?" They said, "Yeah, Yeah, we don't know, but we still think you should look at it." So 2 months later, I found myself there on my first day of work back at Christianity Today, thinking, "I know God led me here, but I could not begin to tell you why." Now, tonight, we're going to look at scriptures that help us in that kind of situation. Have you been in a place where you wondered why it was that God led you here? Why did he take you sideways? Why is he seemingly leading you backwards? Why, when he could have led you by a much shorter route and a simpler route, the route that, by the way, you or I had picked out, and he didn't. And maybe some of you tonight, you're in that place right now. Well, wherever you are tonight, I want to help you with this common experience that we have in following God. And that is this, that God often leads us, his people, in roundabout ways. And I want you to see and understand what God might be doing when he leads us sideways or backwards so that you can trust him more, so that you can regain hope tonight, so that you can really take into your heart the fact that when God is leading you, your U-turn is never a dead end. Now, thankfully, the Bible gives us the perfect case study for this kind of situation where God leads his people in a roundabout way. And the Bible even tells us why he does that. And in fact, it gives us two reasons. So let's look at those together. To do so, we're going to look at our first reading tonight from Exodus. And as you know from our sermon series, if you've joined us on earlier messages, God's people have been suffering for generations as slaves in Egypt. And so God has done many miracles to force Pharaoh to let his people go. And so we pick up the story there in Exodus 13 and verse 17. When Pharaoh finally let the people go, God did not lead them along the main road that runs through Philistine territory, even though that was the shortest route to the promised land. God didn't send them the short way. Why? The promised land's their goal. That's where he wants them to end up. It's what they've been thinking about every day. It's the goal that God himself gave them. And does he take them straight to it? Nope. So let's take that in. Quote, did not lead them along the main road. And then a little later, I think it's in verse 18, God led them in a roundabout way. Now, I want you to look at the map with me so you can understand that the main road, which is that red line that runs right up along the Mediterranean Sea, is actually much, much shorter. To go from Cairo, Egypt, to Jerusalem in Israel is 263 miles. Now, if we figure that the Israelites can walk maybe, say, 10 miles a day, you've got, you know, animals to herd along, you've got little kids, but maybe they can make 10 miles a day, even with a weekly Sabbath. Take that out so that they can rest, they could still be up in the promised land in 4 weeks. Instead, at God's leading, do you see this squirrely line that goes all over the Sinai Peninsula and even does a loop-de-loop and all around? At God's leading, they leave the main road, the easy road where it's easy to walk, and they head out into the trackless desert where the going is hard, and they end up walking thousands of miles instead. Why? Well, thankfully, the Bible tells us right there in verse 17, God said, if the people are faced with a battle, they might change their minds and head back to Egypt. So imagine they're on that solid red road up by the Mediterranean Sea. They don't get very far, and then they face a battle, and then they're going to run and go back to Egypt where they were. Because the fact is that on that short direct route that I pointed out first, that's the main road, and there are lots of border checkpoints with Egyptian soldiers standing there. So at the first checkpoint that the Israelites get to, the soldiers will stop them, they'll call in reinforcements, and war will break out. And what God knows, now stay with this is very important, what God knows, which the people don't know about themselves yet, is if they're faced with a battle, they might change their minds and go back to Egypt. Thank you, Mike, for the map. Now, these people have been enslaved for years. And one of the most horrifying things about being enslaved or being in an abusive relationship is that it beats down your confidence, your belief in what you can do. And so God knows that at the first sign of battle, these people may just give in. They're not ready yet. Now, they will be in a few months. And their first battle will take place in a few months. But first, they need to grow in their confidence in fighting an enemy. And they'll get that confidence at the Red Sea, which we'll talk about next week. Now, here's the point, friends. God knows in a way that you and I don't know what you and I can handle and what we can't handle. So he might lead us in a way that doesn't make any sense to us because he's looking with his MRI vision at what we can't see, which is that the easy way, the short way, the usual way, the way that we desperately want to go, might be where we actually trip up and wreck the whole journey. So what God does is he sometimes leads us in roundabout ways in order to protect us, to protect us. Now, I look back on my life at how God led me, which was not on the direct route to a church as I wanted it to be, not right away. And I realized one reason why. And the fact is, I wasn't ready. Because I still had in me some things that I wasn't aware of, namely this drive that, hey, now I'm going to be a senior pastor, and I'm finally going to bring my vision to a church. I'm going to show what I can do. Notice the first person pronouns. I'll do it humbly, of course, but I will make a difference. And is it my fault if that difference gets noticed and admired? Now, all that kind of pride, that kind of success pastoring, that had to die out in the desert. If God had led me straight to a church, I see now, but I did not see at the time, whenever then my success visions were not happening for some reason or another, I would have gotten frustrated with people and they would have gotten hurt by me because I still would have been there more for me than for them. I wasn't ready. Now, how about you? How are you feeling about where God has led you? Are you confused by it? I understand. Are you disappointed? Yep. Are you feeling angry? I get that too. But could it be that God is leading you in a roundabout way in order to actually protect you because he knows what you can and can't handle? You know, sometimes I think that God is just answering our prayer. Every time we pray the Lord's Prayer, we have that line, "Lead us not into temptation," which we don't exactly understand. But what it really means is, save us from the test we're not ready for yet. Save us from the situation we can't handle because it would harm us spiritually or it would harm others. The one that's too hard for us, the one we're not ready for, the one that could actually be a significant downfall for us. So this is the first reason, friends, that the Bible gives us, that God sometimes leads us, his people, in roundabout ways. It's to protect us. Now, there's a second reason, and we learn that as God leads his people, not just in a roundabout way, he sometimes even leads them in a reverse way, back the exact opposite direction they came, straight back toward Egypt. Would you look with me at Exodus 14, and we'll start at verse 1. Then the Lord gave these instructions to Moses, and I may not say all these place names as well as Becky did. Order the Israelites to turn back and camp by Pi Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea. Camp there along the shore, across from Baal Zephon. Then Pharaoh will think the Israelites are confused. They are trapped in the wilderness. Now, did you see that phrase? Order the Israelites to turn back. Now, why would God ever order his people to turn back? Why would he even want them to go one step closer back to the forced labor camps that they just escaped from by his power? Why would he want them to go back even 6 inches nearer to the people who want to capture them again, beat them, and kill off the ringleaders who had this crazy idea to escape? The worst thing about it is God leads them into an incredibly vulnerable position. If you look at the red arrow there, just north of the Gulf of Suez, you'll see that where he's leading them back into is a terribly vulnerable position. In front of them now, there's Egypt, which is the most powerful army in the world. And behind them are the salt marshes of the Red Sea. Good luck trying to get through that. And on each side is the desert, where they can't get enough water, and if they head that way, they won't survive long. So they look completely vulnerable and trapped because they are completely vulnerable. Soon Pharaoh realizes this, Exodus 14, verse 3. He thinks the Israelites are confused. They are trapped in the wilderness. So what is going on? What is God doing? God tells us, and once again, I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will chase after you. But notice what God says. I have planned this. I planned it. And you go, why? Well, I've planned this, God says, in order to display my glory. Now, this is the second reason that God sometimes leads us in a roundabout way, is to display his glory. In the Israelites' case, here's what's going on. God is saying, I will display my glory through Pharaoh and his whole army, and after this, the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. Meaning, what looks like a complete trap and a mistake for my defenseless people will actually become a trap for the Egyptian army. I have a bigger plan to draw them out, to lure them into a place where I can stop them forever from terrorizing unarmed people. And all of that is for this ultimate plan. I will gain glory for myself, says the Lord. The Egyptians will then know that I am the Lord, this one true God above all of their gods. And many of them will believe in me. And my own people will put their trust in me. Now notice, can we take this in, that God displays his glory in this situation by ordering his people to turn back, by placing them in a place of utter vulnerability, in a place of weakness, where they're surrounded, where they're trapped, where they're confused. That's where he displays his glory. When they can't save themselves and only God can do it, that's where his glory is seen most visibly. Now, among those 2 million Israelites, I can tell you, friends, there is not one person who thought up this plan. Nobody. Only God did. Now let's apply this to you and me. The great late Oswald Chambers says this. He says, God places us where we will bring him the most glory, and we are no judges at all of where that is. I want to say that again. God places us where we will bring him the most glory, but get this, we are no judges at all of where that is. So have you been thinking, you know, God would want me to be in an easier situation than the one he's led me to. But will that bring God greater glory? Maybe God's greater glory will be seen in the harder situation. We are no judges at all of where it is. Or maybe you're thinking, you know, God would want me to serve more people with my life, to make some more visible impact instead of the small, obscure, humdrum, and routine existence that I live. But would that bring God greater glory? Maybe it's in this invisible and obscure place where nobody notices a thing that we're doing, that God's greater glory will be seen and known to him, if to no one else. But we're no judges at all of where his glory will be displayed. Now, can we just take in that when, for God to display his glory, he sometimes intentionally leads us the opposite way of where we want to be. He says, hey, I want you to turn back. So often what looks like the wrong turn to us may take us to exactly God's right place, the place where we are weak so he can show himself strong. You know, back in this spring, back in March and April and May, when the lockdowns from COVID first really took hold in our culture, the president of the Barna Research Group estimated over the next 18 months, one of every five churches will close permanently. Now, he argued that people won't be meeting, people won't be attending, some people only give when they're attending, and so on. And so some of the churches will die off. And when that estimate got out, it added a lot of anxiety to pastors and church boards. But I have to say, here at Savior, we have seen that in the apparent weakness of our not being able to meet, God has displayed his glory. We have learned, have we not, that loving your neighbor is a difficult discipline. How I would love to be with all of you in person tonight. But doing this, choosing consistently love for neighbor as every one of you has, isn't that doing something deep in us? It's working in us as a people that we are becoming more sacrificially loving, and we're becoming therefore more like God, which was, by the way, one of the points of getting together in church. And then God really displays his glory in our weakness, in that in the midst of this global pandemic, he calls us to start a church, Christ Our Peace Anglican in Oak Park. Instead of our church closing, we're actually opening a new one. Praise God. Who could have thought up this plan? Not me. Now, I got good news for you tonight, friends. God wants to protect you. And God wants to involve you in displaying his glory. And so he will lead you clearly enough so that those things can happen. But now that presents us with a challenge. When God leads you and leads me by a roundabout way or a turnback way, how will we respond to that? Let me just ask you kindly, as your pastor, considering where God has been leading you, are you disappointed about that? Are you shut down? Are you angry about it? Are you still kicking against where God's led? Well, then do you need a fresh reminder tonight, as God told his people so long ago, I have planned this in order to display my glory. Would you be willing then, starting even this night, to yield to God your perplexity, your frustration? And would you join me in doing what Doug Stewart told me once? Learn to trust God's providence, even if you don't have to like it. Thank you, Doug. By the power of the Spirit, friends, I am inviting you tonight to open yourself up to this glorious possibility that in ways you cannot see or even begin to understand right now, God is at work for your good and for his glory. And will you say with me to God, Lord, you know better than I do. Help me follow you, even when it confounds my reason, even when it contradicts my desires, even when it constellates my fears. If we do that, we will look back someday, whether on earth or in heaven, and we will say, oh God, how good and wise you are. You planned this in order to display your glory. You protected me, and now I can see that you were good all along. Amen.